We've often talked about addictions here on Issues and Ideas, most recent being opioid addiction. It's time to address another addiction, the keeping the political office addiction, which compels some people to do and say things that just don't work out as they initially planned. Two recent examples are the actions by U.S. Senators Elizabeth Warren and Heidi Heitkamp. Here to review their respective stories is a Shulman Journalism Fellow at the Freedom Center, whose reporting can be found at Front Page Magazine, Daniel Greenfield. Thanks for being here today, Daniel.
Thank you so much for having me on.
And, of course, Front Page Magazine is frontpagemag.com. Read Daniel's work and the other great journalists and true journalists, I want to underline, and the work that they do. Let us start with Senator Warren. What, can you ascertain why she is just so intent on trying to prove her claim that she is Native American?
Well, there's a simple reason. Back in the day, Warren stood for a kind of a light socialism. These days, she doesn't stand for a whole lot. These days, the Democrats have actual full-blooded socialists, people who proudly call themselves socialists, which Elizabeth Warren is too afraid to do. So really, her identity became narrowed down to her odd claim to having at one point having some sort of Native American ancestry and exploiting that claim to in her academic career. Now, the basic strategy that she used before was basically to ignore it and hope that it went away. But with Trump, that doesn't work. Ignoring Trump doesn't make him go away. So President Trump kept repeatedly battering away at this. And now she was trying to run for president. She's not being very successful at it. In the latest CNN poll, even before this whole DNA mess, she was polling at 8%. So she's not doing well. The Democrats are not gathering to her. Really, they have Bernie Sanders, who is more of the real thing than she is. So she needed a desperate gambit so that she could take on Trump and clear this issue away. Instead, it completely backfired on her.
It seems, too, that in the past, she's had opportunities that she just failed to take advantage of. And it's almost like now she's just too late to the party.
It's too late to the party. It's also very, very foolish because she'd been doing outreach to various tribes. So she should have known better than to do this because really, the gambit that she pulled was the thing that offends Indian tribes the most. The things like the Washington Redskins or the Atlanta Braves, the mascots, those are not actually offensive except to certain leftists. But claiming membership in a tribe without actually being a member of that tribe, that is extremely offensive. Her DNA test relies on the claim that the Indians in the United States are not actually indigenous, but that they came through the Bering Strait. That is extremely offensive to them. So it was a complete disaster, and it was a disaster perpetrated by somebody from a political movement that claims to understand minorities and to relate to them, and she showed that she actually had no idea what they believed or what they cared about.
If I understand the testing right, too, the DNA testing company took DNA from individuals from Central America. Their explanation, theory, excuse was Native American DNA is unreliable in tracing origins, while Central American DNA make up a lot of Native American DNA, just like this whole convoluted, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, a four-sided triangle is what they use to pull the DNA scam off.
Yeah, I mean, they're taking DNA from somebody from Peru and saying based on that yes, maybe Elizabeth Warren had some kind of Native American ancestry. Not only is this from a scientific perspective very, very terrible, but it is incredibly offensive, obviously, again, to the Cherokee Nation, which absolutely does not believe that it's interchangeable with, say, people in Peru.
Even the Cherokee Nation head said to Elizabeth Warren, come on, you've done enough, knock it off.
Pretty much, yes. They call it a mockery, they call it offensive, and there are tribal activists who have been much stronger on this. The media coverage turned very negative very quickly. So basically her presidential bid is over before it began.
And it seems, too, like the baiting that Trump is doing isn't silencing her. It's encouraging her to go further and further with this fantasy.
It's certainly destroying her career. Now she can double down on it. She's tried to, but the basic reality is the more she talks, the worse it gets.
But she does have her enablers, and certainly in the media, Washington Post fact checker Glenn Kessler. He was on, I believe it was CNN the other day, and he was validating Elizabeth Warren's claim to be a Native American. His definition now, you're a Native American if you are a participant in an activity involving the Native American community. Even
so
as
if somebody goes to a Native American casino, they're Native American?
By Glenn's definition, apparently. Maybe if you own a Dreamcatcher or go to a Braves game, that makes you Native American.
Now, this is another thing that the left does. It talks a great deal about racism, about appropriating culture, and yet it has absolutely no problem appropriating culture for political reasons.
Talking with Daniel Greenfield, Front Page Magazine, is where he writes, frontpagemag.com. is his website. You also find more about the organization he's with the Freedom Center at DavidHorowitzFreedomCenter.org, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Well, let's move from Elizabeth Warren to, I believe the Department of Interior has just listed Senator Heidi Heitkamp as the most endangered species for the Senate, given her latest poll standings, and certainly her attempt at going after Kavanaugh. I guess she's a victim of Kavanaugh derangement syndrome. That certainly fell flat.
It didn't just fall flat, it made actually Elizabeth Warren's DNA gambit look like a huge success.
please detail for our listeners.
So, Heitkamp's poll numbers, originally not so bad, began seriously dropping after Kavanaugh. She was a victim of the Kavanaugh effect, which is something you see in red states. In red states, you tend to see Democrats going down, becoming more endangered, or in blue states, Republicans become more endangered. Now, Heitkamp tried to recover in a quite stupid way by attacking her opponent using a supposed open letter written signed by victims of sexual violence and domestic abuse. The problem was that, one, a bunch of these people were actually, say they're not actually victims of anything. Two, some are actually victims, did not want their names or their cases made public. Three, some who might actually be victims very much did not want to be exploited for political reasons. So basically this open letter alleging that her Republican opponent is somehow colluding with abusers was actually turned around the other way. There's at least one woman who said that her abuser actually located her through this letter. So actually the attempt to exploit abuse victims completely turned around and actually ended up with Heidi Heitkamp exploiting abuse victims and abusing them.
Senator Heitkamp has said she is going to apologize to those women who she offended. She did a general YouTube website, campaign website apology, but there are some women, at least at the time we're talking here, in the here and now, who have said they've yet to hear from Senator Heitkamp.
There are a lot of women, some are already suing, so an apology is absolutely not going to do it. And again, this is just really the worst possible thing you could have done because she outed abuse victims. She outed people who did not want their abuses made public. There are people who say they were not abused and they were labeled as abuse victims. So some are endangered. Some have family members asking them what's wrong. Some are just being humiliated at work. This is about the worst possible thing that anybody has done this political cycle.
The crazy part of all this is Heitkamp's motivation was to use Brett Kavanaugh as a means to get to her opponent. But if she had, as many people suspected she was going to, voted for the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh, she would have been in a much better situation than she is in the here and now.
So she's managed to stab herself in the back and two different fronts. First, she voted against Kavanaugh. Then she tried to exploit her vote for political purposes, and that made it an even worse disaster. And it's the very people she claimed to be protecting, abuse victims, rape victims, who are blasting her for it.
Just to wrap up with a minute or so left here, we've been hearing about this impending blue wave for the past year plus now. If you look at Heitkamp, if you look here in New Jersey, we did a segment earlier on how Robert Menendez isn't a lock for re-election for the U.S. Senate from New Jersey. Real Clear Politics has it as a leaning Democratic race, a single-point difference between Menendez and his Republican challenger. You could pick out a couple of other races, too, across the country. There was hope that the Democrats were going to get Texas. That's gone by the wayside now. That blue wave doesn't sound like it's going to be much of a force now.
They've put in a whole lot of money. I believe it's around $1 billion. And they're going to win some races, but overall, the Senate looks very bad for them. And again, the polling tends to be overinflated to support Democrats, which means Republicans should not fall for it. They shouldn't be fooled into thinking that it's over, because it's never over. The media inflates polls to support the left. And the reality is the left is not popular, and people are looking at the Kavanaugh thing and looking at the angry mobs. They're looking at the craziness. They're looking at the threats by Nancy Pelosi and others to inflict collateral damage on Americans who don't support them, and they don't like this.
Well, as we go through the home stretch of the midterms, and when you want real news and real analysis of the facts and not any spin or partisanship, then you want to go to Front Page Magazine. If you haven't bookmarked it already, frontpagemag.com. We've been talking with the Shulman Journalism Fellow at the Freedom Center, as well as reporter for Front Page Magazine, Daniel Greenfield. Thank you so much for your insight today.
Thank you so much for having me on.